Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Reading Psalm 110, Psalm of David, a psalm above all from God to us. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn, and will not repent. Thou art a priest for ever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Let's give thanks for these words. Let's pray that they will be fulfilled in our time, that the enemies of the Lord will be made. His footstool will be humbled. And especially as we read from the third verse, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Let's pray that both the church will be made willing to repent and be revived, and also many in the world will be made willing, that they will be, as on the day of Pentecost, added to the church even daily. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come, first of all, giving thanks in His name that there is such a truth as we have read, that there is a victory in Christ over sin and death and hell, that He paid the price on the cross, that He gained the victory in rising from the dead and Thy bringing Him again from the dead to life. And we pray, Father, that we may have these things fulfilled in our time and in our midst, each one of us in our own country and throughout the world. We pray for it, especially in our country this time. We pray, Father, when we are so far departing from the faith of our fathers, that we might be brought back. We might be made willing to listen to Thy word, to believe it in its message of creation, in its giving Thy holy law, in its giving especially the gospel, and that we might have the gospel as Paul could bring it to one city and write to them later and state it. We came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And we pray for that today, Father. And we pray for a reviving as in Corinth when there was a godly sorrow over their sin. We pray, Father, for these blessings first of all, both for the world and for the church. We pray also, Father, for the temporal blessings. We give thanks for the many that we have in nature that others do not have, the sunshine and the rain. We have the peace and the freedom. We have homes and are not molested with wind and fire and earthquake as some. And we pray, Father, for those who are suffering in these ways, who are in hunger, dying, starving. We pray especially that they might have Thy word before the hour of death. We pray for those in sickness that they might have healing. And also those that will be left in their sickness and injuries, tell death that they also may hear and believe the gospel. We pray for our homes, especially the broken homes, that there might be reconciliation. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray for the schools. We pray, Father, for the workplace. We pray for all the needs that we have through and that they might be answered because of Christ. Amen. As we come to this psalm, last week we considered Psalm 2, much of the same truth declared, God speaking and speaking of His Son and the blessing that was given through Him, beginning with the question, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? It is vain to think contrary to the Word of God. Whether it be the second psalm, whether it be any other part of God's word, whether it be in receiving the warnings or the promises, the blessings, all of them are true. True as stated. We need the Holy Spirit to understand them. We need the Holy Spirit, as we read here from Psalm 110, to be willing to submit, to become, as the Lord Jesus said when He was here on earth, to become as little children, bringing us down to where we know we must learn, that we do not know it all. And I'm afraid there's much of that today in our time of disobedience. We still think we know so much. We think we know what we need. We think we know that our ways are right. And there are literally thousands of those different ways. There's few people that really agree together, whether it be in the church, in the home, or politicians. There is trouble everywhere, much trouble in the home, division, broken homes, not thinking, believing, and doing together. Only one way that can be done. That's through Him of whom David here writes, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The plainest example we have of that is probably the Apostle Paul, openly an enemy. It's true that all of us are enemies. All of us are, as Paul writes later to the church at Rome, that the natural man is enmity against God. Or as Christ said to Nicodemus, everyone that does evil hates the light, So it's true of all of us, but with Paul, it was particularly out in the open. He was described as breathing out slaughter and threatenings. He asked for permission from the high priest and the scribes to bind the Christians and to bring them bound to Jerusalem. And when the Lord Jesus stopped him on the way to Damascus, his question to him was, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He was humbled. He became willing. He asked simply, "Who art thou, Lord?" Already recognizing him as Lord, and then stating, "What wilt thou have me to do?" We need to begin there, the very act of our conversion. Not just to start a labor. Many people want to preach, hardly thinking. I think of all the men I've met in jail, especially young men. When we get out, we're going to be youth leaders. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Without really thinking of being made like Paul, the footstool. "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" Even there, Paul is often lacking in being understood. Many say he was converted on the road to Damascus. He was stopped on the road to Damascus. But when he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" he was told to go to Damascus, to go to a certain street, certain house, and it will be told thee what thou must do. And it was yet the way of his salvation. After he was there 3 days and three nights without eating and drinking, God sent Ananias and said to him, "Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins," calling on the name of the Lord. He had been taught, evidently learned of his guilt through those 3 days and three nights, and now it was time to have his sins washed away. He was humbled, as he describes other places in Scripture, referring to the time that the law came and convicted him. He said, "And I died to self, died to the flesh, died to the world, died to the honor that he sought." When he said, "I had not known sin except the law," it said, "Thou shalt not covet." Yes, the enemy was made the footstool of Christ, as Christ said he would be. "He is my vessel, a chosen vessel unto me. He will be my witness." The Lord Jesus so worked in him to stop him, to save him, and then to use him. All from Christ. The Lord Jesus, who had said before his death to the rest of the apostles, "Without me, you can do nothing." It's not we that build a kingdom for the Lord. It's he that must build his kingdom in us. And only then can he do it through us. After that new beginning, after being made a new creature, after having this which David spoke of 1,000 years before Christ was on earth. The second verse, "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." And then those words that we have quoted already a few times. The third verse, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth." Speaking of Christ. Yes, David speaking of Christ. David speaking also of the Lord, saying, as David said, "Unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." He's there on the right hand of the Father. As we read of his ascension after his resurrection, we read that he sat down on the right hand of God. We can read it at the end of some of the Gospels. We can read it in the book of Hebrews. It's there a number of times as Paul writes to the Hebrew Christians. The Lord Jesus sat down, and God is saying to him here, 1,000 years before he actually died, rose again, and ascended. And as we so often say, and it bears repeating, it's because he is Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's why he could say when he was here on earth, as recorded by John, John's Gospel, chapter 8, we read his words concerning Abraham. He said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Then they said he wasn't yet 50 years old. But the Lord Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham, who lived those 1900 years before Christ, saw the day of Christ coming. He saw it, Christ said, and was glad. Rejoiced to see the day and was glad. Twice referring to that wonderful attitude that Abraham could have and was given. When the Jews said, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say, I was, but I am. Present tense, always there. Again, those words that Paul wrote later. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And it will be to our loss if we do not recognize him as he is. First of all, as David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord God in heaven, his Son, also Lord. Yes, God's Son. As we saw last week from Psalm 2, the Lord and his anointed. He could say, as he did, I will declare the decree. The Lord have said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. There's many religions today, particularly some very prominent religions, that will not acknowledge Christ as the Son of God, the one promised to Abraham. God saying to him, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That would come through Abraham's lineal seed. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then on down till the Virgin Mary. And as Isaiah would say, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. But he would be the Son of God. Mary would be told that holy thing that was in her was from the Holy Spirit. Paul writes later, writing to the Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, like God, and God showing himself in the face of Jesus Christ, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, here, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's his place. That's already stated there in the psalm that we've been reading from. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand. Here, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Terrible terrible place of cursing, a place of humility, a place of being rejected not only by men, crying away with him, crucify him, but hanging on that cross and crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know the answer to that question? Was he forsaken for your sin? If not, and you don't know that by faith, your sin remains. You have to pay for it. It was for me that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was for all of the sinners together that he died for on that cross. Going back to Abraham. Abraham who saw his day and was glad. He knew it. He knew the promise of that seed would come and what he would do. That's why he offered sacrifices. They were the type, the shadows, through which God taught them before Christ did come. And here we have not only this part of the story, humbled himself to the death of the cross. Then the victory is described. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Listen to that again. Given him a name which is above every name. There are those who claim to be above him. Those who claim he is past and others took his place or were greater. Not so. First of all, when he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, today, yes, right today, and tomorrow, and every day, through all eternity. After the cross, highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. That's the one that God has spoke to, as David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand. After this death on the cross, after the resurrection, after the ascension, I state again, as the scripture tells us, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Yes, God is a majestic God. He's majestic in nature. He's majestic in creation. But above all, in Christ. God showing himself in the face of Jesus Christ, God who created and said, let there be light, shows himself as the light in Christ, who could say in truth, I am the light of the world. There's no problem with Christ. The problem is all with us. As John states, the light came into the world, but the darkness comprehended it not. And as I already quoted earlier, his words to Nicodemus, everyone that does evil hates the light. That's why Christ was crucified from the human standpoint. He said, if I had not spoken unto them the words that I've spoken, they would not have sinned. He exposed their sin. And then he could say, they hated me without a cause. But the victory is his. As David spoke of it in Psalm 110, as David spoke of it in Psalm 2 that we saw last week and the week before, we're simply told by David in that second psalm, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Sinners are perishing every day, perishing sadly, many of them without Christ. That's why we should in the church not only sing, but do, as we did sing at the beginning of this program. Hark, 'tis the shepherd voice I hear, out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Yes, when Christ does it, he uses the church, but the church can only do it when the church itself is strengthened, as the early church was the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Here they were told to tarry in Jerusalem until they would be strengthened with power from on high, and how we need it again today, how we need that strength. How we need that strength to be made willing to humble ourselves, first of all, to recognize our sin in the church. As I've mentioned in different times, the terrible sins that we have. As I think today, coming to toward the end of the day, another 3,000 babies killed. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. For those that remain enemies and do not want to repent, they'll make the footstool in hell. All murderers will be sent to hell. We voted for murderers. They're in the Congress. They're in the White House. Are we going to vote for murderers again and continue our terrible bloodshed? Make ourselves ripe for judgment. Bring ourselves under the curse of what God said, they that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed. We may suffer that as a nation together. Oh, what a wonder if God will make his enemies his footstool in repentance, in humbling, in change. That's what we need for the nation, the church, the home, individually, in the church and in the world. In the church, we need to be revived. We need to be made a salt again that is not a salt that have lost its savor, like we are, in our lukewarmness, in our pride, our carelessness. We need this from God through Christ, as we have it in Psalm 110 and Psalm 2. Believe it today.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.